Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Barry Shube, the former executive director of the NICD and professor emeritus of virology at Wits University. Professor Shube, great to have you back live with us this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Simon. Good afternoon.
You're going to talk about the interesting issue of explaining the tests used to diagnose COVID.
Yeah, you know, we go for tests, people go for tests, and now a lot of people actually ask me to explain, you know, actually what goes on with these tests, how they're used, in fact, to diagnose infection. So I thought I'd just spend a little time just giving you the background, explaining what they are and what their purpose is. The purpose really are twofold. There are two purposes in doing these diagnostic tests. You either want to show that a person is infected with a virus, and because they're infected, you actually diagnose what's causing their illness. And also you kind of show, are they going to be infectious or transmit the infection to somebody else. That's the one purpose. The other purpose is to show, has a person been infected in the past, and therefore they may be immune because they've got now antibodies to the virus. So if you want to show that a person's infected with a virus, you know, it's very difficult and cumbersome to actually grow the virus. Can be done, but only in research laboratories. In the ordinary diagnostic laboratories, we either do it in one of two ways. You can either demonstrate, see, a virus has got two things. It's got genetic component and it's got a protein around it. So you can either demonstrate the genetic component of the virus, and that's the famous PCR test. I'm sure everybody's heard about the PCRs, polymerase chain reaction test. I'll explain it just now. Or you can demonstrate the other component of the virus, which is the protein shell, or the protein components of the virus, which surround the genetic material and protect it and transport it into cells. Yeah. So those are the two kind of ways in which two aims of a diagnostic test. So let's look at first at the virus. You want to demonstrate that a person's got the virus. So you take a specimen where the virus is mainly situated in the body, and that's behind the nose and in the throat, what you call the nasopharynx and the oropharynx. So you take a swab of that material, which if a person is infected will have a lot of virus in it. But that's only appear probably about a week before a person gets ill and up to about a week after the onset of illness. And you send to the laboratory to do a PCR test. What the PCR test, it takes multiple copies of a segment of that genetic material. So it's extremely exquisitely sensitive. It can pick up minuscule amounts of genetics, down to even a few molecules. But the problem is it's a bit of a cumbersome. It takes a few days to get results. It's expensive. So what they have more recently developed are these rapid tests. Now, the rapid tests demonstrate the proteins of the virus, or what you call the antigen. The antigen is what stimulates the immune system. It's essentially the protein of the virus. Now, this doesn't make copies. What's there, you demonstrate. And there, obviously, it'll only demonstrate if there's quite enough of that antigen or protein in the specimen that you're taking. So that will really only appear in individuals that do have symptoms when they get some, when they're ill, when there's a lot of virus in those secretions, or if a person is asymptomatic, when they would have got symptoms in that period of time. Now, the rapid tests are, as the name implies, they're much quicker. In fact, up to about as quick as a half an hour, you can get a result rather than a day or two. And it's obviously much cheaper than the PCR because it's much less cumbersome. The problem is, of course, if you take it at the wrong time, too early or too late, it's going to give you a false negative. In other words, it'll be negative, and the person might kind of feel that they're kind of not infected, or give you a false positive or negative, and therefore a person will kind of feel, well, they're kind of not infected, and therefore they can, you know, do what they have to do. They're not infectious. And also, if you don't take an adequately good specimen, and there's not enough material to detect, that's also a drawback of it. That's a useful test, useful for screening, these rapid tests. But if it's negative, it's less likely to be infectious. If it's positive, then it gives you results. It's a useful kind of screening test for somebody going onto the airplane, for example. You don't want them to be infectious going onto the plane or whatever in that kind of situation for screening if somebody is infected. And the antibody tests, similar, you want to look if somebody's been infected in the past. There are the laboratory tests, which are a bit more accurate. take a bit more time, a bit more expensive. And there are also rapid tests, which will give you a result probably in a half an hour, but not quite as sensitive, not quite as accurate. So that's the kind of a brief helicopter view of these diagnostic tests. The laboratory-based ones, which are more accurate, more precise, but obviously more expensive, but longer to get a result. The rapid tests, which are cheap and quick and good for screening.
Professor, and you brought us to 4:30 on the nose. So thank you for that. And you'll be back with me same time tomorrow.
Excellent.